It's a great reminder there that we were just given of how we can come to the Father through Jesus. And I want you to lose that throughout the whole sermon today, because we're in a spot where, just like Shalene was talking about, this today's sermon, the worship team and I, we all had to confess, here's a way that I've made a mistake this week. Here's a way that I'm falling short to this passage. Before we get to the passage, I do want to tell you a little bit of something I came across this week, because it's going to carry us through as kind of an analogy throughout the whole thing. So some of you probably had this question before as you're getting some water from your faucet or as you're taking a shower or something like that, of how does this water get here? Like, what is the process for this water? And a lot of people in Independence, they just think, oh, well, we get the water from the Missouri River. That would be the guess, I think, of most people. And then somehow it gets cleaned up and brought here. But I did a little bit of digging this week, and I watched this video from the City of Independence about how does our water treatment work. I won't put you through all the pieces of it. If you want to check it out, I'll throw it up on Facebook here in a little bit. But basically, this little video talks about that Independence has more than 40 wells that are close to the Missouri River, but it pulls water that from those wells that's already at a real stable temperature, already been filtered in a lot of ways, pulls it out of there. The very first step they do is actually some sort of aeration to get out some sort of gas. It's explosive, some sort of sewer gas stuff. It smells terrible. I didn't even know that was a thing in water. And then they add some limestone to it to make it softer. Then they add some chlorine and ammonia to get the bacteria out. Then they filter it through a bunch of like sand and gravel. And every single day, they're doing like 20 million gallons or something like that. And they're getting water to 250,000 people roughly a day. And then every day they have a team of people that do testing on the water. 365 days out of the year, there's a team of folks testing the water at multiple stages to make sure it's safe. And so every day it's pretty easy to just grow to expect that water's gonna be healthy, right? And if the water was healthy 364 days out of the year, but made you sick one day out of the year, you would think like, we have a terrible water department, right? Like, I wanna move, right? Like, I don't trust them. Because basically they have to be right every single day. They gotta do all this filtering and all this purifying to get it right every day. And the reason I thought about that was because the passage we're gonna look at, it talks about this thing that we would have to do a lot of filtering to get right. We have to do a lot of effort every day to get right. That thing is the words that come out of our mouth. The way we use our words, the way we try to have power over other people, manipulate other people, hurt other people, belittle other people. And a lot of it is rooted in this heart that struggles with malice and bitterness and slander. It's all mixed up. And the problem is when we try to have a body of Christians, be a church together, be the body of Jesus, those sorts of words break apart all sorts of good work that God has done. So let's read this passage and then we'll unpack it. Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29. There's just three verses here, but they carry a lot of weight. So it says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Just verse 29 has like a ton of information for us. First it says, don't let junk come out of your mouth. This idea that you're responsible for your words. You're responsible for what comes out of your mouth. Sometimes we will blame a situation, or we will blame another person, or we'll blame Satan or whoever, but the reality is, like, you are going to be held accountable for what you say. So it says, don't let, you have control over your mouth. God has given you control of your mouth. He's given it to you. you have a choice every time you speak. A lot of us don't realize that. It says, don't let anything unwholesome. It says, but only. Now right there, when you read that, it's very convicting to me, but only what is helpful. It defines helpful here for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So when we say something, and we filtered it through this test of, is this helpful for the person I'm talking to? Does it meet a need of theirs? Does it build them up in some way? Think about that. You'd have to think about the person you're talking to and think, do I know a need that they have? And do I think my words could actually build them towards being better? Most of the time we speak because we want to be understood, or because we want to get our way, or because we're angry or sad or something just kind of explodes out. It's normally this, like, not very well thought out and selfish. And the reason I know this is because I've seen it firsthand, like, in myself. Every single one of us sees this in us. But, like, our natural tendency is to be self-centered. Even when we're saying things about the Bible or saying things about Jesus, a lot of times it's coming from this view of, I know the answer and you need what I have. You need to act more like me. You need to do what I say. That's how, unfortunately, a lot of my speech works, and a lot of other people's speech too. Just today talking with the worship team, it wasn't hard for any of us to confess. I didn't have to go back to 7 months ago or something. Just yesterday, and if I would have looked closer, probably even already this morning. But just yesterday, the way I was interacting with my son Samuel, it was not building him up. We were in the van, he likes to ask a lot of questions over and over. Are we on an interstate or not? He's very concerned about it. He wants to know the name of the highway, he wants to know why it's not an interstate, why is there a stoplight? My tone with him, I didn't say anything terrible as far as, like, if you read a text of what I said. I didn't yell at him, but I had this tone the whole time of, I don't really want to talk to you, of, I'm annoyed by your question. And the reason that tone was there is because that's what was in my heart. And Chrissy had said something the other day that was beneficial to me. She talked about, like, at this age, at three, it's very, even if they know the answer, it's very, like, developmentally good for them to have a conversation and to ask questions even that they know the answers to, over and over and over and over again. So I knew in my mind, like, what Samuel needs to be built up is to know that, like, I want to talk to him, that I'm a good place for questions, and that I love him. You know, like, that's what he's hoping for. But what I gave him yesterday was just, like, pushing away. And it wasn't terrible. We had a lot of other fun moments, but I see, like, I blew it in that moment. Like, that van ride was a bad version, or, like, didn't live up to this verse. And honestly, I've been trying to reflect all week long about these verses, and I just have constantly failed and failed and failed to do these simple things of think about the other person in the room or in the van or in the whatever. I think, what do they need? And can I say something to build them up? And if you don't have anything, if you don't know what they need, or you don't have anything that you think would actually help, it's very okay to be quiet, right? Or to default to, I'm going to try to be loving and kind in this moment. Because sometimes with, like, three-year-olds, you can't necessarily be quiet. But with some people, they're going to ask me, you can't necessarily stop talking. But to just say, I'm going to do my best. Or even with moments, in better moments with Sam or Sequoia, sometimes I'll say, like, Dad needs to pray. Will you pray with me? Because I'm having a hard time. So even if you are having a hard time, to just be open about it. To try better, right? A lot of times, if you will just say a prayer, say, Jesus, help me to do right with my mouth, he will give you some opportunity, right? So, this next verse, real quick, back actually to verse 1 before we go on, just some practical coaching. This idea of building people up according to their needs, if you will not say the first thing that comes to your head, but try to watch the other person, try to really listen to what they say, and then when they stop talking, try to develop what do they mean. It will take you a lot of the way there. Because just by looking at someone in the eye, just by paying attention while they talk, you will see a lot of what's going on inside of them. And if you, especially if you have, if you're trying to listen to God, sometimes God will give you a little insight to what's going on with them. But if you're busy, like I often am, thinking about my next response and not even looking at the person, then you're closed off to what they need. And if you're closed off to what they need, you're not fitting with this verse very easily, right? So here's where the stakes are at this. Why should we care about this? Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We all know what it's like to be right next to somebody in close proximity. And normally if we know, like, we're gonna be on a plane ride with somebody for 17 hours, or we're gonna be stuck in this van, or we're gonna be stuck in this prison cell, or whatever it is, we're gonna be stuck with somebody else really close. Most of us try to have some sort of good connection there, right? So we realize, like, I'm stuck with this person, I don't want to be terrible. Here, God's telling us the Holy Spirit has been bounded to you. When you accept Jesus, Jesus binds the Holy Spirit to you. So the Holy Spirit's there. Whatever you say, the Holy Spirit has a literal front row seat to you. And the reality is, he can see into that other person's heart. And he actually has been listening and watching them. And it's like if you've ever cared about somebody, you've been in a room, you've seen somebody else say something hurtful to them, or even just blow an opportunity to help them, and you watch that person you care about's face, it's like hard to watch it, right? If you have like a family member in the room and you see another family member dig into them, hurt them, it's like hard to see someone use their words to hurt someone else, or even just to blow an opportunity to really help somebody. This says the Holy Spirit is literally grieving when we hurt somebody with our words, or when we fail to build them up. He says, don't do it. You owe the Holy Spirit so much. He's so patient with us. He's so with us. He's so faithful to us. Don't wound him. Like our tongue, God has opened himself up to us so vulnerably that our tongue can wound him, can hurt him. That's how vulnerable he's gotten with us. Now on the flip side, when someone else hurts you with their tongue, or they tear you down in a way that's not about your needs, it's not about tearing somebody down so they can build it up, it's just an attack, or it's just vicious. The Holy Spirit is sad. He is grieved to see you hurt by somebody else. So maybe you're here today and you're so wounded by somebody else, you're not even ready to help someone. Know that the Holy Spirit sees your pain. I'm going to come back to that. Hopefully, I'm going to try not to forget, but I've got to get to this last verse to make it make sense. Verse 31, here's where the inside work starts. It says, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Listen to that list one more time. Think about your own life. Are you totally clean of bitterness? Are you totally clean of rage? Totally clean of rage and anger. It puts them together. It says brawling and slander. And then it says every form of malice. This idea that it might look a lot different in a lot of people's lives, but at the root of it, if you take the mask off, a lot of times there's malice. There's this idea of I want evil for them. I want them to be hurt. I want bad for them, not good. There's a lot of forms that takes in our heart. We can dress it up and make it seem churchy. But a lot of times you pull the mask back, there's malice at the heart of it. There's some sort of, I want them to hurt or be cursed. So here's the thing. It tells us again, first, get rid of all those bad things. If you've ever tried to get rid of bitterness yourself, if you've ever tried to stop having malice towards somebody yourself, if you've ever even tried to just stop slandering somebody that really gets under your skin, you've probably seen how far you can go. And it's actually really, really healthy to try to do as much as you can. When you try to do as much as you can to get the evil out, you wind up seeing like you can't do it all. It actually propels you into more dependence on God. If you never try yourself and you just throw up some prayers, you won't get very far. But if you pray and try as hard as you can and see that you can't make it, so you pray harder, that sort of cycle will actually get you to growing with Jesus. That sort of cycle opens the door for the Holy Spirit to come in and clean house. God will give you these opportunities to do something loving to your enemy, or to do something kind, or to somehow not throw them under the bus when you have a chance, or to somehow speak highly of them, or somehow to be silent when you have the perfect cutting response. He'll give you chances to act the way you want your heart to be. And as you take those chances obediently and step with that, you're opening up parts of your heart to more and more Him. But here's how this could maybe go for you. I ride the bicycle quite a bit, and I really love riding the bicycle. But one of the things I love about it is, like, I don't have any music or any, there's nobody but me on the bike, you know, and so it's an easy time to think, and it's also an easy time to have a conversation with God. And I was trying to get at some bitterness in my own heart while I was riding the bike the other day. I was really angry, and I could see that was turning into bitterness quickly. And at the end, and I feel like the biggest thing my heart was able to say at the end of it was to ask the Holy Spirit to see me, to ask Jesus to see me. Because I felt really alone, even though that's not true. I think sometimes in life we feel really alone, even if there's lots of people that love us. And I felt like I had no real desire to go talk about any of the stuff that had happened. I just wanted to be seen by Jesus. I just wanted to be seen by somebody who, like, had no bias, who loved me and this other person, and who I could just trust to, like, just, would you just see this and, like, sort it out? And that verse in the middle there, the Holy Spirit is grieved when people are getting hurt. I think it's this huge comfort that's possible there. Like, whether anybody else defends you, whether anybody else sees that you did the right thing, whether anybody else takes care of what needs to happen, the Holy Spirit will see and hear everything you do. You can trust Him to be in and with you. And so this week, when you're feeling bitter or pained or angry and you want to spout off, I would encourage you to instead take some time with the Holy Spirit and be seen by Him and let yourself realize that He's in this with you. Let me pull it all the way back to that water analogy we had at the very beginning, and I'm going to wrap up with these thoughts. So imagine that the words coming out of your mouth were like the tap water of independence. I mean, maybe you don't think that highly of the tap water of independence, but honestly, our words could grow a lot to even just get to that standard. Like, we don't make anybody sick. You know, like, whether everybody likes the taste or not is up for discussion, you know, but, like, what if every single day the stuff coming out of you was healthy? It met a need for other people. It helped them. The way you get to that is that you daily have to filter the junk out. And daily, you need multiple tests by some experts to get right, right? That's what happens with the water. Every day they're testing, even though they have all these things already in place. So here's how it could work for you. Get real practical. Here's what you could do. Every single night, what I would recommend is, if you can't go for a walk, if you can't get for a walk, somehow get into a spot where you can spend some time with God. And I want you to ask yourself three questions. It's great. You know, my hope is you're already reading the Bible on your own. You're already praying on your own. This would be something to add to your time. So maybe in the morning you read your Bible and you pray, but then at night, what I want you to do is something I would call like a daily review. And I've got three questions for you, and I guess everybody's on Facebook today. I was not sure how to get this to people in the parking lot, but if you're on Facebook at 11:55 here in about 5 minutes, and it's going to come up on our Facebook page with these three questions. And they're based on these three verses, okay? So here are the questions that I want you to reflect on. The first one from verse 29 is, how did my words today build others up according to their needs? So you get to start with the positives of Jesus. This one's actually a good one. I've been doing this week. I'm ashamed to say I've not done it every single day, but I've been doing this regularly. And sometimes you look back and realize, like, oh, that thing that I did today was really important. God really did like that I did that. And you might think, like, why do I need that pat on the back? It's actually good to have a conversation with God at the end of the day about, like, what did I do right? Because you want us to do more of that the next day. So it's okay. It's good to spend a little bit of time with God, like, getting encouraged. So just ask Him first off, what did I say that was good, that built somebody up according to their needs? So you ask that question, and then you, if you're like me, walking helps you, so then you walk for a little bit. Your mind might race, so you're trying to at least spend some time saying, God, give me an answer. Help me think through the day. You can even remember throughout the day, who did I talk to you? How'd it go? Second question you get to is verse 30. You get this question of, Holy Spirit, please show me today how my words grieved you. So for me, there's not been a single time I've done this week where I just had like a day that was like, great job, Jake. Like, nothing you said was off. You know, every single day there was something that God said, like, think back to this moment. Think about what you said, why you were saying it, think about the impact it had on that person. Every day there's been something to improve on. The reality is, though, you don't camp out in like, I'm a terrible person. As soon as the Holy Spirit convicts you, then you give it right back to Him. You say, Jesus, I'm so sorry about that van ride with Samuel yesterday, right? Because I don't have to be eaten up with guilt today for yesterday's sin. I have to repent. I have to confess and repent. And those are the only things I have to do. Jesus will do the rest. But like today, when Samuel asked a lot of questions, I'm going to try to be better. And even this morning when I left, I was in a rush today at the end of the morning trying to get here to church. But I did stop and play with Samuel a couple times ago, just trying to like overtly go the opposite direction as yesterday. Like, even if I'm not getting everything right, I'm trying to do the opposite of what I knew I did wrong yesterday. Right? So, okay, then verse 31, third question. Holy Spirit, please help me see how I'm holding bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, or any form of malice. So you ask Him, like, help me to see it. And then you say, please purify me and show me what contrary action you want me to take. Because honestly, some of this we can't fix. And it's okay to say, God, please fix parts of me that I can't fix. But you gotta open the door for, like, what action do you want me to take? Because it's really easy to say, like, Jesus, help me not to be bitter against that horrible person that's mistreated me for 15 years or whatever it might be. Honestly, it's probably going to take more than like a well-intentioned, please help me to be fixed, God. It's probably going to take a lot of prayer, a lot of opening up to Jesus, and some contrary action to what you want to do. Right? So those are the three questions. If you do those every day, you're starting to filter your heart. Honestly, my speech hasn't just magically gotten better over this week to be like perfect, but it's changing. And I think if you'll take the same challenge this week, your speech will change. Your heart will change. And if we as a church start growing in this, even if we're not perfect, but we start growing in like every day, I'm trying to talk to the Holy Spirit about how have I done, how could I do better, using my speech to build people up. We're going to be a totally different place. Like, we need to grow in how we talk to each other. I need to grow, and I know how to be well enough to see that you guys need to grow too, you know, to be honest. So we need it. And it's right here. We're submitting to what we see right here. Because it was real easy a couple weeks ago to say, yeah, let's put on Christ. Let's be new creations. But here's where the rubber hits the road. Like, are we going to put in the work say, God, make me new.
Yeah.
Okay. And final little thought. It was so great today with the worship team to have a time of confession where we prayed together and got honest. You don't have to do this alone. You can always call up somebody else at Maywood or talk to somebody at Maywood and say, here's how I've been feeling. Can you pray with me about it? Right? If you have some of those unveiling conversations, I bet they will start to have some of those with you too. And that opens the door then for the even, I'm having success. Let's celebrate it together. Right? So I want to pray a blessing over you guys, and I hope we will see you again next Sunday. Jesus, I thank you that you have paid the cost of forgiveness for us. And I thank you that you are doing the work of purifying us. Help us to accept your forgiveness, and help us to work with you. I pray that you would help us in our speech to build each other up. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.